It is summer, and I'm so glad to see you out here today and just ask God's blessing on you. Today, we're going to be continuing in our study that we've been doing and are going to continue doing. We started out with the first sphere of influence in prayer, which was religion, 2 weeks ago. And we spoke about how important it is for us as a congregation and as Christians to pray for the church leaders, for pastors, for associate pastors, for the gospel message truly being brought, for the truth of the gospel being taken to all other faiths, because there is only one God, one Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we moved last week with Brother David, and he talked about family and marriage, and he brought in the importance of how we need to pray for families, not only for physical health within the families, but for emotional health, for spiritual health for our children, for our spouses. We need to pray for all marriages. And when I say that, I really mean that, because there are people out there who are getting married who have no idea that what they're doing is an abomination unto the Lord. And we need to pray for them that their eyes would be open. We need to pray for our nation in that regard as well, because they are literally destroying people with what they're doing. And as we know, and I'm going to speak this, there is a culture out there that the suicide rate is 3 times that of the heterosexual suicide rate. And we need to understand and see that when God puts something in His Word, and to me it's amazing, because God created man and He created woman and He brought them together and He said it was? No. It was very good. Remember that. Everything else was good. But when He brought man and woman together, He said, it is very good. Remember that. It will do you well, because God does not mince words. Every word He speaks has power, has purpose, has reason. And He added that little word, okay? If you have good cake, it's okay, right? But if you have very good cake, we all understand that, don't we? That's going back for another piece. And today, we're going to move into the next sphere, which is the sphere of education. Turn in your scriptures with me, if you will, to the book of Philippians. Or, excuse me, I got to turn my notes back. I was going over my notes last night. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. It's where I was with the children here just a little bit ago. We're going to be in Proverbs 1. We're going to be in Proverbs 1. Now, I've got a bunch to read here. It's funny because I actually cut it out, because what they told me to, because we have an outline for everything, and if you know me with these things, I don't follow them. You know, I use it as a guide. It's a suggestion to me. So I read this and I thought, oh man, I like chapter 1. Oh man, chapter 2 is even better. Oh wow, we got to read chapter 3. We'd have been here for 20 minutes reading the scripture, which there's nothing wrong with that. But then I've got to cut down my preaching and because, you know, we have to get to discipleship. So I thought, well, I better back this off. We're doing chapter 1 through 8, and then we're going to jump to 20, and then we're going to read to the end of the chapter. But I want you, in your devotions this week, in your time this week, to read chapter 2, read chapter 3, and read chapter 4. Because each of those chapters builds upon what we're going to learn here right now. And if you want to understand education, how important education is, and where its true heart comes from, read these chapters and you will understand something of God. From the first verse. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equality, to give prudence to the naive, to the young, knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. Jumping to chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satisfied with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. How important is education? How important is the understanding of our world and everything therein to our God? Extremely. God wants us to gain understanding from Him. God wants us to know who He is and what He is about and how He has set things into motion, because that is good. As I said earlier, when God created for 6 days, it was good, and then He made us. And he made a mistake. No, he didn't. He made us, and he said it was very good. That ought to make you feel well. Okay? He made man. He didn't make us. We weren't born when Adam and Eve were created. But all of us were already planned to be coming after. So we need to understand that when God spoke that, he was speaking through the generations. He knew what was coming. Now, he's also speaking to the reality that at that time it was sinless. And those people who were there were able to eat of the tree of life and to learn from him everything he wanted to teach them. But they decided to take a shortcut and went to university. That went over a bunch of folks' heads. Because we're going to talk about what happens at university in just a few minutes. Because what happened was these two, decided to take a shortcut. They decided to allow the deceiver to come, and they did the one thing they weren't allowed to do. They were one thing they were told they couldn't do. And because of it, everything you see that is in your lives, all the illness, all the sickness, all the disease, all the perversion, all the stuff that's out there, all the sin that is out there, is now in our lives because they disobeyed. Well, does God tell us that's going to happen? What did we just read? He says, because you did not listen to me, I will laugh at you. I'm going to turn my back on you, and I'm going to let calamity come. And when it does, I'm going to turn away, and I'm not going to listen. Now, I'm going to say something, and this is going to be harsh. You aren't going to like it, but here's the reality. What happened down in Florida, do you think God listened to any one of the people who prayed to him in a pagan prayer? Do you think God is listening to the people of this nation right now as we have turned from him? Now, I'm going to tell you, he is listening to his elect. And that is something you all need to hear and you all need to know, because God says he will never what? Leave us nor forsake us. Who's he talking to when he says that? The people of the world or his church? His church. But when the people of this world, and I've been seeing the commercials, and I know you all have because I know you all get the local commercials, we shall overcome, okay? We shall overcome. It's all over the TV. They're praying in the candles, and we stand with the people in Orlando, and I looked at that, and I said, no, I don't. They asked for this. That's a harsh reality. And if we were on the internet today, it would be going out there that this pastor would have said that, and boy, I'll guarantee you that would go viral if somebody got a hold of it. But it's not going out. The reality is, I wish it were, because the truth has to get out. Our education system and what we are is laughable. It is laughable. Folks, whether you realize it or not, I know we all have children. You know, I raised my son up. He's a PK, and he should have been better than 50 million other kids out there. He went to Philadelphia and got all screwed up. Okay? Don't believe me? Talk to him. I want you to think about you who are in school right now. How many things are happening in school that you just say, oh, well, that doesn't really affect me because I don't do it. Well, guess what? You saying that has shown that it has affected you. Because if something is wrong, it shouldn't even be considered. But what are we teaching our youth today? We have sold our parental rights to the government. Do you realize that the first primer of education was the Bible? Because every family had a Bible, and the children would be able to read, and they would sit and they would learn God's Word. In fact, Benjamin Franklin made the comment that if we're going to have a good education system, it has to start with the Bible and the Christian religion. He was talking about education. Excuse me? I believe he's one of our founding fathers. And if I'm not mistaken, he weren't a Christian himself. But he knew what was right. And yet, we're told, separation of church and state. If you can find that in the Constitution, I'll buy you a pizza. Because it's not in there. But we separated ourselves because we allowed the government to say, oh, well, we can't do this, and take control of the schools. And they're forcing by federal funding, you know, we're going to, if you don't do what we want, we're going to pull your funding. We're going to pull your funding. We're going to pull your funding. I wish they'd pull their funding and just shut up and get out of the education business and let it up to true instructors, people who want to teach. You know, I wish Brother Matt were here today, because he is a true teacher. He's a Christian brother, and he understands that he's got to somehow get these Christian principles into his children. So he's got to live them in front of them, because he can't speak it unless they say something, then he can talk to them. You and I need to understand what is happening in our education system today, and understand that what God is talking about here, he's telling us to please come to your Father for instruction. And he's talking about his Heavenly Father and us, the fathers who are here, who are in Christ. We are to be the heads of our families, teaching them these very things, giving them that instruction, educating our families. Because if we were willing to stand in the fray, no matter what comes against our families, do you think our families are not going to see that and say, wow, my dad loves me? But if we let all this stuff overcome our children, what are they going to say? They're going to say, well, it doesn't matter. And do you know that is exactly what the educators of our world today want? They want everybody to think nothing matters. There's nothing that matters. I want to read to you from a book. When I was doing my master's degree, this was probably 4 years ago when I read this book, and I literally read four books on the downfall of the American education system. If you want to read a book that'll turn your stomach, okay, this is good. This is good reading for before you go to bed, okay, because it can be a little tough. It'll put you to sleep. But it's good reading because there's a lot of good information in here. It's called Free Fall of the American University, How Our Colleges Are Corrupting the Minds and Morals of the Next Generation. Okay? It's by Black, and it's printed by WND Books. And it's Jim Nelson Black. And it is awesome, all right? When you begin to read this, you are going to see just how bad things really are, because our media doesn't report it to us. They're not about to, because they're part of the problem, all right? And we're going to be praying for them here in a couple weeks. But today we need to be praying for our educators, for their children who are in this education system, because when we begin to understand just what they are doing to our children and how they are taking our children away from the wisdom of God, away from that which is good and right, and turning to the left and what is social, and boy, I'm telling you right now, when you talk about socialism, there is nothing there but depravity. Because I hate to tell you this, look what happened in Russia. Look what happened in all the socialist countries in the world. Talk about oppressed people. And yet our youth are marching right into that. They want it because they're being told they're going to get something for nothing. How'd that work out for Russia? How'd that work out for Cuba? How did that work out for North Korea? How's it working out for China? They're only allowed to have one kid. All right? I mean, you got to think about the outcome. What are our young people actually wanting and why? Well, let's start to understand some of the why. Now, the amazing thing is, I'm not going to get into the meat and potatoes of this book. I'm going to take you to the very first chapter, and that's where I'm going to stay. Because you really need to read this book. You want to see just how bad things are in our world and where they're going and the direction that they literally are trying to take us, please get this book. It is power-packed with wisdom. As traditional learning is dismissed in many classrooms as reactionary, tainted by sexism, racism, and a legacy of authoritarian hegemony, the student's ability to reason, question, or challenge ideas is subverted in efforts to think independently are everywhere undermined. The last thing professors want is a room full of students who are able to argue persuasively and challenge the biases of the typical lecture hall. Some students are able to rise above the dogma and persevere in their respect, in their self-respect and independence, but never without consequences. Many, on the other hand, are profoundly changed, intellectually scarred, morally neutered, socially and intellectually reprogrammed, and sometimes physically or emotionally crippled for life. Now, folks, this is a statement that is coming from one of the highest educators in our United States, all right? You have to understand who James Nelson Black is and the people that he's writing this book with. We are talking some of the highest educators who are no longer in the education system because they've retired. They have moved out of the education system. And all those people who have now gained tenure, and what does it mean to have tenure? You can't be fired. You are there until you retire. You're there until you die. It's like being in the Supreme Court. We can't take you out. You're worse than a tick. He goes on. And this is amazing, and I love this. In their surprisingly frank assessment of the state of public education, the National Commission on Excellence in Education wrote, and this is a quote, this is from one of their own reports to the President of the United States. If an unfriendly foreign power had attempted to impose on America the mediocre educational performance that exists today, we might well have viewed it as an act of war. What? Do you realize that when our children started school in the 1700s, now please remember, they were using the Bible as the primer even before this, but in the 1700s, they were able to say words like I wasn't able to say there, hegemony, H-E-G-E-M-O-N-Y, homogeny, there we go, homogeny, all right? Because they understood them. Russell's shaking his head, no. What am I saying it wrong? Oh, okay, that's something different. Hegemony, whatever. What that means is authoritarian, it's a group or rule of people who has power over another. That's what that word means, all right? I had to look it up. I looked it up the first time I read the book. I looked it up last night. But our kids back then would literally write sentence structure. How many of you can structure a sentence? How many adults out there can structure a sentence? Okay. How many of our young people can structure a sentence? Nouns, pronouns, and literally do a mechanical structure of the sentence that this pronoun is talking about this, and these verbs are talking to that adverb, and all right? And that's cool that you can, because it's not being taught in many schools anymore. We need to understand that the mediocrity that is coming is abased. It went on further to say, as it stands, we have allowed this to happen, and this is their own quote, we have allowed this to happen to ourselves. We have, in effect, been committing an act of unthinking, unilateral educational disarmament. What did they just say? They're dumbing down our society on purpose. On purpose. That's the educators, not the government, the educators. But who funds the educators? The government. After the report was published, the U.S. Department of Education conceded, get this, large portions, perhaps more than half of our elementary, middle, and high school students are unable to demonstrate competency in challenging subject matter, such as English, mathematics, science, history, and geography. You know, if they'd have said civics and calculus and, you know, all those things, I'd have said, who cares? But we're talking the basics, English, mathematics. When we talk mathematics, we're talking 1 + 1 = 2. We're not talking about the science maths. This is deplorable. They're seeing this and they're calling it further. They said, further, even fewer appear to be able to use their minds well. In other words, they don't have any critical thinking skills. They can't solve problems because they don't know how. They've not been challenged. And if you think I'm laughing, all we have to do is turn on the news and watch and look and listen. Have you ever watched Late Night? You know, and I know some of you do, don't lie. You watch Late Night with Jay Leno, and now he's not on anymore. It goes to show how much I watch Late Night. But he used to have this thing on there where he would go out and poll the people, and he would ask, who was George Washington? Or, you know, something so stupid that everybody should know it. You know, what's the capital of New York? Do you know how many people would say New York? What's the capital of New York, people? Albany. Albany. But the people on the street, these people who are out there, you know, in New York, New York, New York, right? We have a people who are not educated. Now get this. This is another quote. Albert Shanker, who is head of the nation's second largest teachers union, okay? The union is entitled the American Federation of Teachers, admitted, quote, 95% of kids who go to college in the United States would not be admitted to college anywhere else in the world. Did you hear that? 95% of the kids who go to college in the United States would not be admitted to college anywhere else in the world. What does that tell you about the education levels of our students coming out of high school? Do you realize we have a 40% illiteracy rate of children coming out of high school? 40% cannot read at grade level. Do you know what the most common grade level is for graduating seniors? You won't believe me. Third grade. It's ridiculous. And it saddens my heart. One of the things, and Pastor loves to do this, and I'm so grateful, because here at the church, we ask our kids to read the Bible, don't we, Marion? When we're in Venture Club, we ask him, would you read this? Would you read this? Would you read this? Now, I'm gonna say this. I don't want to pick on anybody. Do some of our students struggle with words? And we're talking the upper grades, aren't we? And it's sad. And it's not that our kids are dumb. They've not been taught. They've not been taught. As we enter the 21st century, at least three generations of young Americans believe, now get this, this is what they're being taught in school, folks. At least three generations of young Americans believe what they have been taught, that their own native land is populated by men and women who are homophobic, bigoted, womanizers. Okay, there's another one of those words in here I had to look up, so I'm telling you what it says because I can't even pronounce the word. Exploitive, environmentally insensitive, and morally corrupt. That's what they're teaching our kids. That we're all homophobes, that we're all bigots, that we're all womanizers. That we exploit the entire world and everything in it. We have no care for our environment, and we are all morally corrupt. Now you do realize, if you go back three generations, we're talking some of the greatest Christians that lived in our time. Please do understand that, because three generations ago, what happened? The Bible came out of school. We're talking some of the most morally secure people in our world. Billy Graham and men of his like. Okay? Because that's not the moralism that these people want. They want amoralism. In other words, everything's okay. There are no absolutes. And we know for a fact that there are absolutes in our world today. Amen? Amen. And we've got to get back to that reality. To further illustrate how one-sided the political agenda on campus has become, a recent study for the Center for the Study of Popular Culture polled social science and liberal arts professors at Ivy League colleges. This is all the Ivy League. They have them listed here. It's all the Ivy League colleges. And when they polled them, this is what they found. 3% of the faculty at all the Ivy League colleges identify themselves as Republicans. 44% named the organization that represents their views as the ACLU. 44% of the professors of the Ivy League colleges say the ACLU represents their views on life and morality. 0% identified with the Christian Coalition. 0%. And 1% identified with the NRA. I like that statistic. What What are our colleges teaching? What are these professors bringing? How would you like to know? How many of you want to know some of the courses that are being offered? I got them too. University of California at Berkeley, male sexuality. Columbia, sorcery and magic. Dartmouth, queer theory, queer texts. Yale, AIDS and society. Cornell, gay fiction. Princeton, sexuality, bodies, desires, and modern times. Lost my spot. University of Pennsylvania, feminist critique of Christianity. Brown University, unnatural acts, introductions to lesbian and gay literature. Bucknell, witchcraft and politics. University of Iowa, Elvis as anthology. Swarthmore, lesbian novels since World War II. Stanford, homosexuals, heretics, witches, and werewolves. Orblin, feminist criticism of Shakespeare. Rutgers, women on the fringe, perceptions of women as social and sex role deviants in American civilization. Vassar, global feminism, Wesleyan, this is a Christian college, it's a Christian university, all right? Pornography, writing of prostitutes. University of Massachusetts, rock and roll. University of Indiana, Star Trek and religion. University of Michigan, crossing erotic boundaries. University of North Carolina, magic, ritual, and belief. University of Wisconsin, goddesses and feminine powers. Okay? The University of Michigan, how to be gay, male homosexuality, and intention. And the list goes on. And you wonder why these young people come out of college with a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, and when it comes to critical thinking things, they cannot do anything because their minds are so filled with trash and junk and just stuff to take up space. Because let me ask you something. If you're going to college and you know that what you get as a job afterwards depends upon how good your GPA is, are you going to take that class that literally makes you think and work and develop? Or are you going to take the easy way out and take that thing that you're just going to be able to skirt through? Well, these young people aren't stupid. They're dumb, but they aren't stupid. Okay? What's the difference between dumb and stupid? Dumb is you don't know any better. Stupid is you know and you still do it. So they're not stupid, but they are dumb. And they're taking these courses figuring that, oh, they won't affect me. Guess what? If you eat something long enough, it's going to affect you. You know, think about it. How many of you feel bad after eating a whole pie? There's a reason you feel bad. You filled yourself up on this thing, and now it's just sitting in there rolling around. You know, taking a little bite at a time doesn't seem to matter, does it? But if you still eat that whole pie by yourself, you're going to gain weight. It's going to change who you are. And that's exactly what is happening in our classrooms, in our educational system. And we're talking the highest form of education. These are the people who are going to lead our world. And this is the kind of stuff we're teaching them. We need to pray for our youth. We need to pray that our teenagers would see the reality that they are being bombarded daily with immoral messages and temptations and this stuff, and their minds don't see it as that. This is school. My parents are sending me here. I'm supposed to learn this stuff. This is good. Parents, do you realize what's going on? Some do, and they pulled their kids out, and they're teaching them themselves. Praise Jesus. Because that's what we need to do. And that's what I'm here to tell you today. We need to pray for our educators. We need to pray for the teachers who are out there. We need to pray for the administrations that are out there, that they truly would get back to the heart of wisdom, that they would truly get back to the heart of knowledge, which the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. They need to fear God. They need to become one who understands that they are created and that there is a creator. And that He has all the wisdom of the ages, and He wishes to impart it to each and every one of us. If you look at where our educational system has brought us to this day, at one point in time, the American education system was the highest education system in the world. It was the thing that every other education system in the world set itself to. We have been superseded for the last 25 years. China and Japan are producing more engineers today than America does in 5 years. They produce in one. They understand that if their society is going to survive, they need to teach people to think critically, and they need to teach them how to think and what to think. Our people say it doesn't matter. Whatever happens is okay, because our professors are in this for nothing more than a political agenda. And if you don't think that's true, look at our society. It is happening under our noses, and we need to pray. We need to pray for our youth. We need to pray for our teenagers, that they would be raised up, that they would be raised up within the church, that they would hear truth, and that they would stand to that truth, and that they would reject the falsehoods that are coming and be able to know the difference, and that they would have the heart, please pray this, that they would have the heart to speak to their parents, to speak to their pastors, to speak to their leaders and elders within the church about matters that they may not understand or that they're questioning. Because if we simply allow these young people to be devoured by the world, we're no better than the world. You know, I say so many times and so often, and you all hear me say it, that the children of this church, they're my kids. None of you, I think, understand what I mean when I say that. I have never felt the way I feel ever in my life. When I was growing up, it was all about me and what I could get and what I could do, and what was going to be good for my future. But when God called me into ministry, He did something. He did a work. Because now, it's not about me. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the doctor calls me 5 and 6 times and tells me, hey, would you please go get your blood work done? Well, I just don't have time because I have this meeting and I have that meeting and I have all these other things. I'll get it done when I have time. They said, Pastor, if you don't get your blood work done, you're going to run out of time one of these days. Well, I will have finished well, because I would have poured myself out for those who I love. And why do I love you? Because Jesus Christ loves you, and He has put that love for you in my heart. The love I have in my heart for our kids and for each and every one of you is something I can't even wrap my own head around, because I'm not like this. This isn't me in my natural state, but this is me in the state of Jesus Christ. You matter more than you'll ever know. More than I matter, you matter. I don't understand that, but God does. And that's the way we need to look at these realities. When we start thinking about the different spheres, religion, family, education, business, government, media, and entertainment, we need to understand the power that is in them to control our world. And we need to know that all those spheres are under the control of Him who created them, and He has placed us in control of them, if we will simply take it. So today, as we go to our closing scripture, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians in the 4th chapter. Because I want to finish with this scripture. Philippians in the 4th chapter. What time is it? I'm getting close. And I don't even have a clock up here no more. I'm getting close. Philippians in the 4th chapter, verse 8. This is God's instruction to each and every one of us. Because we need to remember that there are things out there in the world that are going to drag our minds away. They're going to drag us into a new type of education. They're going to program us, because that's exactly what is happening on television as we see all these things happening, as we listen to the media, as we ourselves, you know, when Pastor was going through his education, getting his master's degree, praise God, I was in a college that truly stands on the biblical principles. Because as we just read, you know, Wheaton College is bringing stuff that shouldn't even be. And that was it was an evangelical conservative college for years. It was the benchmark for many colleges that they looked at and said, this is what we want to be. And I'm wondering to myself now, how many of them want to? But this is what God says to us from the 8th verse. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. God is telling us to look to Him, look to His Word, look to His being, and find the goodness and dwell on it, for from it we will learn the goodness of God, and we will learn the way which is right. Narrow is the path which leads to life, and few find it. Wide is the road that leads to perdition. Let us think on the good. Let us meditate on the good. Let us bring into ourselves all that is pleasing and respectable. Let us be people of purity, of light, of holiness. But let us also be a people of prayer. Tomorrow, myself and some others are going to be down at the Cedar Crest School Board meeting. And we're going to be talking. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know what I would like to talk about. Whether we'll be shut down or not, we really don't know at this point, because they called us and wanted to talk to us privately. Hey, that's all right. They're worried because the newspaper's going to be there and the radio station's going to be there and they don't want bad publicity. Tough. The truth is the truth. And I want truth. And that's what we need to pray for. That's where we need to go. We need to think on whatever is good, whatever is pure. Not whatever makes you feel good. Not whatever pleases everybody, but what is God? That is what we need to think on. That is where we need to go. And that's where we need our education system to come back to. So as we go these weeks and months, as we move forward, I pray that when we're praying, as you're looking at the calendar up here, the sheet up here, which, by the way, we've got to get another big piece of paper because we've got this whole thing filled up. Of course, Pastor Rich rolled out a little bit too much the first time. I shouldn't have put that much out. We got 2 days on what I did for one. So we're going to have to get more paper. But that's wonderful. Because I can't wait to see till we get to the end and then look at those prayers and see how God has changed us and how we're praying differently as we go through each of these things. And I saw many of you getting up and writing prayers as we were worshiping. Praise God. Don't be afraid to do that. Because as God moves in your heart, you need to move too. Prayer is a powerful thing. It is our weapon against the devil. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You so very much. We thank You for the love that You have given to us. We thank You for the power that You have given to us as we understand just how important prayer is, and that You change our world based on the way that Your people pray. So, Father, I pray, we pray, that you will move in the sphere of education on behalf of our children, on behalf of all that is yet to come, and for those who are there now, that you would move in the lives of educators to draw them to the place of truth. And Lord, if you can't draw them to the place of truth, then we as Christian believers need to understand, know, and be the reality that we draw our children out away from those educators and educate them ourselves in the ways that are right and good. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we still have the freedom to express these truths. Because, Lord, we fear that there is a day coming. There is a day coming when that'll stop. But until that day, Lord, we will snatch those from the flames who are going into hell, even at the moment of their entrance. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus in our lives, who has given us the wisdom and understanding to be people of life, to be people of prayer, and to be your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.